This is a 15-minute agenda item. It's intended to have a brief discussion about at seat processing, including monitoring and reporting requirements, VMS requirements, so on and so forth for vessels engaged in this activity. I put this on the agenda because when I forgot to say this in my Mid-Atlantic report, but when I was in the Mid-Atlantic under other business, this issue came up, and there was some concern on the part of the Mid-Atlantic Council about what the implications for this action and the herring plan were. And I had a discussion with Pete Jensen and Dan Furlong about bringing this up to our council. I think they're going to bring it up at their council at another meeting and see if we can't get on the same page about how we manage and monitor these types of activities. It didn't make the binder, but in your packet that was in front of you when you sat down today, there's a sheet. It should be under tab 5. It's marked number 3. I'll give you a second to grab that if you want. It's titled USAP Questions and Answers. Again, it's not in your binder. It's in your the packet that had the rubber band around it when you sat down at your seat this morning or this afternoon. Listed on the front and the back is, I don't know, about a dozen questions and answers that, the first section are questions that I wrote to the regional office, wrote to Hannah Goodell, who's here right now. And she was kind enough to take these questions and respond to them, and I guess there are additional questions that the NARO staff had fielded in the past month. So I'm not going to go down the list of questions and answers or even go into all of these points, but I did want to say that the reason that I put this on the agenda for today is to raise this issue and to see if we could have a brief discussion about this type of operation in our EEZ. And I got to thinking about in the past what types of operations similar to this have we had in the EEZ and how have we managed them. We've had JVPs, and I'm not sure whether or not we had TEL fisheries in the past in the EEZ. And there were specific standards that were set up to monitor and observe these fisheries. So that was the first question I asked. If you have the sheet in front of you, you'll see that the answer is that there's no observer requirement for USAP vessels. In the past, under JVP and TELF operations, under specific regulations, there was a requirement for 100% observer coverage on that vessel. So I wanted to throw out this issue to the council today for a very brief discussion and in hopes that we can tackle this issue at a later meeting in April or June if there is desire amongst the council members to address this. You see there's other questions and other answers on this sheet. I realize most of you haven't seen it until right now, so that's why I don't think we can have a very productive discussion on it. Paul? Okay. Any other questions? Any questions or any discussion? Phil?
Trying to play catch up here. We're just saying we're going to look this over. It's a food for thought, and we're going to talk it over at the next scheduled meeting. Is that where we are now?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering whether we could get some information on how this is handled in other areas. Whether it's the similar or somewhat similar type of thing in the Pacific Northwest or other areas, just so that when we do go to discuss it, that we would have some a basis for which to start.
Okay. Yep. We'll have staff see what they can find out for, April's meeting. Anyone else? David? Okay.
Yeah, I am actually a little bit confused by some of the questions and answers. as an example, on the issue of the haddock, they're required to be retained for 12 hours. But if the processor vessel never lands within that 12-hour window, can they just discard them? I realize there's a lot of paper that's got to be filled out here, and quite frankly, I don't think paper's worth the powder to blow it to hell. I can fill out paper any way I want to fill it out. I think what we really need is you know, the question is, does a vessel, or does a catcher processor need an at-sea observer continuously assigned to it to monitor the offloading and processing operations? I think that's the question I don't see asked here.
I think it's contained within some of the Q&A here. There is no requirement right now for that. I believe, and the regional office can step in if I'm wrong, but I believe that the permit issued to that vessel is the same one that would be issued to a shoreside processor. Lori?
Yeah, I did just want to clarify, it's not a catcher processor, it's a processing-only vessel, and I believe it's regulated exactly as a shoreside processor or a dealer would be.
Anyone else? Pat?
Just quickly to David's point and to that point, the one difference, though, is that it's 12, they have to retain the haddock for 12 hours after they land. So it's not 12 hours after it's transferred not 12 hours after it's transferred, but after the processor lands, they have to retain the haddock.
Okay, anything else? Go to the audience. Jim O'Malley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim O'Malley. Just curious, has anybody done a checklist on what fishery management plans prohibit transfer at sea in any shape, way, or form? I know that some of the Mid-Atlantic plans do, and I don't know how bycatch would affect that or whatever. Has that work been done?
I don't believe it has.
Might be useful.
It's going on the list for April.
Very good.
Thank you. Lori?
Sorry, I just wanted to ask a clarification on the point about retaining the haddock. The U.S. at sea processor is required to retain the haddock for 12 hours after it lands. My understanding is that the boat would actually be on the fishing ground potentially for weeks at a time. So if it receives haddock in the early part of that period, it has to retain that haddock potentially for weeks and then bring it in. Okay.
Anything else? Okay. We'll move on to the Magnuson Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act. Paul Howard.